1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 8. Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have become kings, and that without us. How I wish that you really had become kings, so that we might be kings with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We've been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels, as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you, as my dear children, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere or in every church. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord's willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come with a whip or in love and a gentle spirit? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which comforts, which corrects, which instructs and guides. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be present here now, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear and receive what it is you have for each of us today. Lord, I pray for myself that your anointing might be upon me, that I might step back and that you might step forward through me, that each person who hears this message might be encouraged and blessed, each in their own way, each according to your will, each according to the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that you would be the one lifted up and glorified. I pray your people here would be blessed. Lord, we come before you now, seeking your face, seeking your truth. Hear our prayers, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I titled this "When the Gloves Come Off." We live in Minnesota. Don't tell me you've never seen a hockey game. What happens when there's a fight? The gloves come off. Why? Because they can't hurt each other with them big fluffy gloves that they got on. They want to say, okay, they're gonna get into it. Another reason why you take gloves off when you have gloves on is because you can't do the fine detail work. You can't handle what really needs to be done because it's too clumsy. You can't feel it. So you take the gloves off. Hands are cold. So the reason I titled this "The Gloves Come Off" is because in my mind, that's what I saw. is that as I read this passage, Paul is getting ready. He's coming in and he's playing hardball. But he also is seeking to handle things just right and really needs to hold on to it and deal with things and have a fine touch. At the same time, he's got that right cross. Didn't anybody catch the pun? Still don't catch the right cross. Yeah, I expected at least one groan. I shouldn't have to explain them. You know, I had such hopes for you. Okay. Because, now I can throw out a pun here because Paul's coming out with sarcasm. Trust me, his words drip sarcasm. They are sarcasm. They are the very definition of sarcasm. Oh, you are rich! No, they're not. He just got done telling them that you don't have anything. Everything that you have, God gave you. But he's saying, he's coming at them with everything he's got. And he's laying it out as clear as day that they're messed up. That they have a wrong attitude, a wrong heart, a wrong way of looking at it. That the people that you're following, getting direction from, that are bringing division within the body of Christ, you people better get it together. You say you're rich. I wish I was rich like you. I don't own anything. You're kings. You're powerful. Me, I'm just a servant. You know, just servant Paul. You know, you're all wise. You know everything. You don't need to listen to the teachings from me. After all, I'm just an apostle. I don't know anything. You know, you don't need to listen to the Word of God. You've got this new knowledge. You're so wise. I'm just a fool. A fool for Christ. Just nothing. Just a fool. Not wise. Fool. You're honored. You are honored above all. Me, I'm dishonored. In fact, I'm scum. I'm a prisoner. You're strong, I'm weak, I've been made a prisoner. I've been made a spectacle. You're a spectator. You get to watch. You're proud. I'm just humble. As Lord just uses me. I work with my hands. I'm called names. And all I do is respond back with love. That's what Paul's saying. And he's laying out to these with sarcasm. So thick. You do need a knife to cut through it. It's just not a thin layer here. He's wanting to make a point. And he's not being subtle about it. Sometimes the word can be subtle. But most often it's really pretty straightforward. Sometimes to get people's attention, you speak a quiet word. But sometimes you have to get right in their face. This is Paul getting right in their face. And he lays this contrast. This is what you guys say you are. This is what the reality of who I am. Now, who is Paul? Nobody, just their father. Just their spiritual father. He brings them a warning. He said, I'm not telling you all this because I want to shame you, but to warn you, my dear children. My dear children. How many of us like being referred to as children? Not seeing any hands go up. I had one there. That normally means that if we're the children, that somebody else is in charge, that somebody else knows better than we do. I remember being a child and thinking that that wasn't quite true. I thought I knew best, but it turns out as I grew up older that I realized that no, maybe they did know better. Maybe I didn't have all the facts, didn't know the realities. But I learned it later. But Paul's telling them that he's there as their spiritual father. Now, this next part here, the similarity that he's laying out between what God did with Christ and what he's doing with Timothy, it's just a slap. You know, he's just laying it right out in front of them. Pay attention. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm doing? I, your spiritual father, am sending my son, Timothy, to you. Listen to him. Follow him. Do as he directs. Let's see. Is there anybody else who did anything like that anywhere in Scripture? Anybody that they talk? Oh, yeah, Jesus. God. He sent his son. And we were to listen to him and follow his direction. What did we do? Crucified him. He said, don't do that. The good news is something which they've known. And he's laying out, by what your actions are right now, you are crucifying Christ again. I'm putting out to you right now, here's my son. Follow him. Live the life that he directs you, because he's seeking to follow me and I'm following Christ, and we're all doing what it is the Lord directs us to do then. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy. Why? Because Timothy's going to show you how better to follow me. Because obviously you guys aren't doing it. This is the word that Paul has here for the church in Corinth. Why? The division. They're not doing things right. Now, he's going to finish up here and he's going to move next week. We're going to be moving right into even more stuff. I mean, stuff that we go, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, this is where the church has gone, because of the division, because they're not following Christ, because they're not following Paul. Say, okay, I'm going to give you somebody who's going to be right there with you. Follow him. Sending you Timothy. My faithful son, whom I love. My faithful son, whom I love. You think I was... What, who said those words about somebody else? The Holy Spirit said those words about Jesus. This is my son whom I love. We need to pay attention here. The church in Corinth needed to pay attention. Paul had taken the gloves off and he was no longer speaking around the issue. He's rubbing their noses in it like you do a puppy that's made a mess. Not a very comfortable picture here. I don't know about you, but I don't like being talked to like that. In fact, I might get a little ornery about it. Well, he comes back one more time and he says, some of you getting arrogant. The word, kingdom of heaven is about power. It's not about words. I'm coming. And I'm walking with, this is Paul talking, I'm coming. And we'll see where the power is. People are acting and talking like I'm not going to show up, like I'm never coming back, like I left and they can do whatever they want. It's like kids having a party and the parents aren't coming home. And they're never going to be held responsible. But he's saying, no, I'm coming home. I'm going to be there. I'm going to deal with the arrogant that have power. I'm going to deal with them with power. But the kingdom is not talk. The kingdom is power. The kingdom of God is power. So many times we wander around thinking we're powerless. What can we do? We don't have enough money for the Great Commission Fund. We got people who are suffering here and there. What can we do? We've got the power of God. There's a lot we can do. When we work in that power, when we walk in that power, when we allow God to use us in that power. Paul's going to come and he's going to hold those arrogant people to account. Those who thought that they had earthly power. They're going to show them kingdom power. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and my parents had gone on a trip and it was coming time for them, I found out, you know, they're coming home. I knew they're coming back. My sisters and I spent the day they were supposed to arrive cleaning the house from top to bottom. Because our parents had power and authority over us. In no uncertain terms. They weren't bad people. They didn't abuse us. But yet, they kept us under discipline. And we knew that if we didn't have the house cleaned up, if we hadn't, just because, you know, they weren't there for a week, so we didn't do dishes for a week. That didn't fly. Dishes were to be done every day and put away after every meal. This was the way it was supposed to be. And we were supposed to clean the bathrooms and the house every week. I mean, dusting from top to bottom. And we did that before they got home. Because we had the warning. We knew they were coming. Paul's throwing out the warning. I'm coming and I'm going to deal with it. It's your choice. Do you want me to come with a whip? His word. A whip? Or with love? And gentle spirit. Whip, love, gentle spirit. I'm kind of leaning the love and gentle spirit way myself. How about you? Paul's coming back to the church of Corinth, saying, we're going to set the house in order. Jesus is coming back to the church on earth, and He's going to set the house in order. He's coming in power. Now it's our choice. Do we want Him to come with the whip? Or with a gentle spirit? Love in a gentle spirit. When He comes and deals with His church. When He comes and deals with Northbrook. I right here, right now, stand forth as your pastor and say, I'm in favor of love and gentle spirit for Jesus to come and deal with our church. All those in favor say aye. All those in favor say aye. Anybody here really want the whip? I don't. Because I know beyond a doubt who has the power here in this relationship. Is it Jesus or is it me? It's Jesus. Who has the power in the relationship between the church there? Is it Paul the apostle? Or those who are not following Christ? Well, it's Paul. And we take that and we apply that to us here, the church. And we have to take to heart that Jesus is coming back. This is truth. This is reality. And we shouldn't walk around thinking that we can get away with doing whatever we want. So on the news just yesterday, another pastor goes online and hooks up with some little girl on the internet, and it turns out it's the FBI sting, and the guy goes down to meet her, and it's like, you got to be kidding me. What are we doing as the church to be involved with this kind of stuff? And it's in the church. It's not just the world outside of us. And that's what we see in chapter 5, the immoral brother. We need to set ourselves in order. We need to be seeking after God. We need to be following Christ. We have the example of Christ to follow. We have the example of Peter who is following Christ. We have the example of Paul who is following Christ. We have the example of Timothy who is following. We have example after example. This is how it's done. Now it's my job to be an example. Ouch. That one's scary for me. Because I need to be faithful. I need to be following God. I need to be Timothy. So that you all can see what needs to be done. I need to have that same spirit as Paul. With being humble, being a servant, being a fool for Christ. Being willing to be a spectacle, if that's what it takes. And each one of us who's in any position of authority, spiritual father, spiritual mother over somebody else, we need to take that position. Because our spiritual father is coming. And our choice is a whip or love and gentle spirit. We've already voted. We want the love and gentle spirit. Let's do what needs to be done. That is, be obedient to the Lord and follow Him. Walk in His ways according to His will. Not in pride, but in humbleness. But with power. Not our power, His.
We need to decide that preference. Commit to it and see it through. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you do speak clearly in your word. Sometimes, Lord, we look at the word and we're not quite sure what it is you're saying. But there are portions of your word, Lord, which there's no getting around. You are clear. You speak clearly for all to hear and understand. Lord, you don't want us going our own way. You don't want us following anyone but you. Lord, you are the one with the power. We need to submit ourselves to that. We also need to receive it and live in that kingdom power. Day in, day out. Recognizing that we are your children. Lord, might we be obedient and faithful so that when you return, you will come with love and a gentle spirit to receive us, your church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.